Golden Fox, written by Wilbur Smith and read by Sean Barrett.
Chapter 1. A cloud of butterflies rose into the sunlight. The breeze smeared them across the summer sky, and 100,000 young faces, shining with wonder, turned upwards to watch them drift overhead. In the forefront of that vast concourse sat a girl, the girl that he had been stalking for 10 days now, a hunter studying his prey. He had come to know, with a peculiar intimacy, her every gesture and movement, the turn and lift of her head as something caught her attention, the way she cocked it to listen, or tossed it in annoyance or impatience. Now, in a new attitude, she lifted her face to the glorious cloud of winged insects, and even at this distance he could see the sparkle of her teeth, and her lips formed a soft pink O of wonder. On the high stage above her, the figure in the white satin shirt held up yet another box, and, laughing, shook from it a fresh burst of fluttering wings. Yellow and white and iridescent, they bore aloft, and the crowd gasped and oohed afresh. One of the butterflies toppled and dived, and though 100 hands were held out to catch it, it swerved and wobbled down to alight at last on the girl's upturned face. Even above the swelling murmur of the crowd, he heard the girl's happy cry of laughter, and he found himself smiling in sympathy with her. She reached up to where it sat on her forehead and took it gently, almost reverently, in the cup of her hands. For a moment she held it close to her face, studying it with those indigo blue eyes that he had come to know so well. Her expression was suddenly wistful, and her lips moved as she whispered to it, but he could not hear the words. Her sadness was fleeting, and then those lovely lips smiled again, and she leapt to her feet and held both hands high above her head, standing on tiptoe. The butterfly hesitated, perched on her outstretched fingertips, pulsing its wings softly on the point of flight, and he heard her voice. "Fly, fly for me." And those around her took up the cry, "Fly, fly for peace." For a moment she had usurped the limelight, and all eyes were fastened on her rather than on the flamboyant single figure in the center of the stage. She was tall and lithe, her bare limbs tanned and glowing with health. She wore her skirt so short, in the fashion of the day, that as she reached upwards, the hem rose high above the circular creases where cocky little buttocks joined her thighs in a froth of white lace. For a moment, poised like that, she seemed to epitomize her generation, wild and free and fey, and he sensed the instant accord of spirit of all those who watched her. Even the man on the stage leant forward to see her better, and his lips, thick and livid as though stung by bees, split in a smile, and he called out, "Peace!" And his voice was magnified 1,000 times by the great banks of amplifiers that rose high on each side of the stage. The butterfly flew from her hands, and she pressed all her fingers to her lips and blew a wide kiss after it as it fluttered aloft and was lost in the swirling cloud of insects. The girl sank down onto the grass, and those seated close to her reached out to touch and embrace her. On the stage, Mick Jagger held his arms wide, commanding silence. Once he had it, he spoke into the microphone. Distorted by the amplifiers, his voice was slurred and incoherent, his accent so thick that the watcher could barely understand the stumbling tribute he read out to the member of his band, who only days previously had drowned in a swimming pool during a wild weekend party. The whisper was that the victim had been almost comatose with drugs when he entered the water. It was a hero's death, for this was the age of drugs and sexual excess, of pot and pill, of freedom and peace, and overdosing. Jagger ended his little speech. It had been so brief that it had not dulled the buoyant mood of the gathering. The electric guitars struck a discord, and Jagger hurled himself into Honky Tonk Woman with every fibre of his being. Within seconds he had 100,000 hearts racing in time to his, 100,000 young bodies jerking and pulsing, and 200,000 arms held high, swaying like a field of wheat in a high wind.